So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan in 1971, he was asked by one of his disciples, Guru Das, that Prabhupada, are people here liberated even if they don't have a bona fide spiritual master? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because Vrindavan is directly under Krishna's supervision. Krishna is their spiritual master. And Guru Das said, well, I think it's better to have you as a spiritual master than to be born in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's a Vaishnava attitude. The spiritual master, he said, I remember wherever my Guru Maharaj went, Vrindavan was there also. Since the bona fide spiritual master carries the Vrindavan atmosphere with him, it's better to be with him. So Guru Das said, well, we're in the best situation of all, Prabhupada. We have both you and Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada said, I am simply Vrindavan's messenger. Vrindavan is revealed in the heart of the sincere devotee. In reality, it's not on any map, nor is it part of any country. So discovering Vrindavan, of course, today we're going to talk about the Vrindavan that is here in this world because it's a lot closer than going all the way to Goloka. And it's probably a lot closer than finding the Vrindavan in our heart as well. And so we're going to be concentrating more on the Vrindavan here in this world. So we want to enter Vrindavan Dham. We've imported some desire trees here from Goloka. These tulsi plants, they are desire trees, to help us achieve our heart's desire. Shirashira Swami, commentator in Srimad Bhagavatam, says a desire tree has no material attachments or partiality, but simply bestows its fruits upon those who deserve them and not upon others. And Jiva Goswami adds, a desire tree does not think, oh, this person is fit to worship me and that person is not. Rather, a desire tree is satisfied with all who properly serve it. So what is a desire tree? A desire tree is a tree that can give you your heart's desire. So Vrindavan is named after this desire tree of Tulsi. The word Van means forest, and Vrinda means Tulsi Devi. It's the name given to the forest where Shrimati Vrindadevi grows profusely. So if you had a lot of Tulsis, then you're in Vrindavan. If you have Tulsis growing profusely here, then you are in Vrindavan. Another name is Tulsi, another name is Vrinda. So every day we pray, Kripa Kori Korotari Vrindavana Vasi. Dear Tulsi, please bestow your mercy on me so I may forever reside in Vrindavan. So Tulsi Devi can help us enter Vrindavan Dham. So because we're serious about entering Vrindavan, we're going to sing a prayer to Tulsi Devi first. Vrindadevastakam. You have to share this. Well, maybe better close the doors again. Are they going to complain? I think this is the only time, and after this we can open the doors. Okay. We have an extra two copies if somebody needs. Okay. The women's side, they need more, I think. Okay, let me get my copy here. Gangeya Champeya Tariya Vinandi. Champeya Tadirindi Rachi Prabha Sabita Pavinde Rachi Prabha Sabita Pavinde Bandhu Kabandhu Didi Devya Basa Bandhu Kabandhu Didi Devya Basa Govinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. You are bathed in your own splendor, which defeats the effulgence of lightning and the golden champak flower. The luster of your transcendental garments is the friend of the Leandini flower. Bimba tarotit paramandasya. Nasa gramukta tutiti pitasya. Vichitratna paranashiyade. Respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Your face is illuminated by the splendor of the pearl decorating the tip of your nose, and by the extraordinary gentle smile of the two bimba fruits, which are your lips. You are enriched by the beauty of the amazing and colorful jewels and ornaments you wear. Samasta Vaikuntha Shiromanashi. Krishna Savinda Vanatan Natami. Tatadikari Vishabana Putya. Vrinde Namaste Charanarvinda. Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Srimati Radharani, daughter of King Vrishabhanu, has made you the ruling monarch of Lord Krishna's opulent and auspicious abode of Vrindavan, which is the crest jewel of all the Vaikuntha planets. Tat agaya pallava pushpa vrinda. Obeisances to your lotus feet. Because of your order, the groves where Lord Madhava performs his pastimes appear very splendid, decorated with blossoming flowers, bumblebees, deer, and other auspicious animals, flowers, and birds. Tati yatirti nani kunja yuna. Oh, Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Who can describe your good fortune? You are the messenger who brought about the perfection of the amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the youthful couple who enthusiastically sport in the groves of Vrindavan. Rasa kilasa vasatis chandinda. Vane charisha krisala jase. Lavya chahonsam kripaya. Devi, I offer respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Living entities who attain the service of the lotus feet of your Lord reside in Vrindavan, and the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastimes of the rasa dance is only by your mercy. Thank you. at the Devi, I offer respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who have studied the Sattva Tantra glorify you. You are Lord Vishnu's potency for performing pastimes, and you are known as Tulsi Devi in human society. Devotion to Lord Hari, and who are thrown by their offenses into the waves of lust and other inauspicious qualities, may take shelter of you. Vrinda stakambya shinuya kvahedva. Vrinda manaji shabada shamin. Person who becomes like a bumblebee at the lotus feet of Radha Krishna and who reads or hears these 8 verses describing the glories of Vrindadevi, eternally reside at Goloka Vrindavan. He attains devotional service and pure love of Godhead, and all his spiritual aspirations become fulfilled. So now we're going to chant some japa. And we're going to concentrate on Tulsi Devi while we chant. This is a very powerful spiritual practice. According to Srila Prabhupada, if you meditate on Tulsi while you're chanting, then you can get all your spiritual desires. You can make very quick spiritual advancement. So before we chant, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about Tulsi, a story from Garga Samhita. One time Radharani was feeling great separation from Krishna. And she said, if I cannot attain his feet, I will not keep my body alive. So her friend Chandranana, she's very learned. She's learned in the Shastra. So Radharani asked her, you please tell me what I should do. Please tell me what kind of worship I should perform to please Krishna. Worship that will bring auspiciousness, piety, and fulfillment of my desire. So Chandranana, she told Radharani, service to Tulsi gives the greatest piety, greatest good fortune, and greatest benediction. It gives Lord Krishna's association. You should always gaze at Tulsi, touch her, remember her, glorify her, bow down before her, offer prayers to her, plant her, and worship her, and she will grant your desire. One who plants Tulsi liberates his family. So if any of you have any problem with your families not being devotees, maybe all of you don't have that problem. But anyway, if you do, you can just plant one Tulsi. As many branches, sub-branches, seeds, flowers, and leaves as are in the Tulsi he has planted, so many ancestors and descendants in his family for thousands of kalpa yugas will go to Lord Krishna's transcendental abode. So if you have a brother or sister, mother or father, you would like to make a devotee, you just plant a Tulsi, and Tulsi will take care of him. By offering Lord Krishna a single Tulsi leaf, one attains the result of offering him every flower and leaf that exists. On a single Tulsi leaf exist the holy places, beginning with Pushkar, the sacred rivers, beginning with Ganga, the deities, headed by Lord Vasudev. They all live on one Tulsi leaf. So all the holy places, all the deities, all the rivers, all the sacred rivers are situated on one Tulsi leaf. So Radharani, she was inspired after hearing Chandrana's words, and she put Tulsi in a beautiful temple with 100 hastas high, whatever that means, walls of golden rubies, and an outer wall of emeralds, diamonds, pearls, decorated with Chintamani gems. She worshipped Tulsi and she got Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said, the process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency. Simply by doing this, one can become spiritually strong. Therefore, we request the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. Now, Haridas Thakur used to chant a lot of rounds every day. We don't have to do that. He used to chant in front of Tulsi Devi. So Prabhupada said, chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering respects to the Tulsi plant difficult. And the process has immense spiritual potency, and one should not miss this opportunity. So now, the next thing, we want to enter Vrindavan Dham. Now, in the previous times, when you had to go to a foreign country, it's a bit foreign for us at this point, because we've been here in this material world, you used to have a vaccination. You know what that means? Against some diseases. And Srila Prabhupada, one time, he was trying to enter India, and he was quarantined because he didn't have his yellow fever vaccine. So, I'm going to give you a list of the vaccinations required and the diseases which they will help you overcome. And these, are again, are the anarthas that are in the heart. All the anarthas, all the demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan are different anarthas in our hearts. So you can have a look at this, and I think you might have to share. This. If by the Lord's grace these demons can be killed in the various ways they may manifest in our lives, then our progress in devotional service is guaranteed. As long as these anarthas are present, and we cannot relish the taste of chanting the holy name. So this is for you to keep, and so I'm just explaining a few of them. We went over the Putana one already, and Chinavarta, Shakata, Vatsasura, Bhakasura. Protection from cheating religion, especially nam aparad, from cunning, duplicity, deceptive behavior, hypocrisy. Agamardana, protection from intolerance and cruelty, violence, desire to trouble others, born of envy. We go to Kaliya Shatana, protection from brutal cruelty, maliciousness, pride, envy, and crookedness. Agni Pitva, protection from sectarianism, hatred, and arguments between Vaishnavas or different religions. Pralambasura Ghatana, protection from lust, desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, and personalism. Keshi Mardana, at the end, protection from the vanity of thinking, I am a great devotee, I am guru, also from the false ego arising from attachment to wealth and material accomplishments. Unlike other vaccination, these vaccinations must be taken through the ear. So, and the place to get it is here at the temple. You come here in the morning and the evening, and you will get complete protection from all the diseases of spiritual life and spiritual path. So remember, in the first day of our class, I was also telling that there is a practice you can do. Nighttime, you read the lila of the demon you would like to destroy in your heart. In the morning, before you chant japa, you may pray to Krishna to please take care of that demon, kill that demon. So now the next thing, if you want to go to Vrindavan, you have to fill up the residential permit application, which, just like in India, everywhere, so many, if you go to Mathura, so we're going to Mathura now to fill up our application for residence in Vrindavan. And so these questions, you can answer yes or no, and they will help you to understand whether or not you're ready to live in Vrindavan, in this world here. Again, this is not Goloka Vrindavan, this is the Vrindavan here, in this world. So I'll give you about 10 minutes to look over this questionnaire, and then we will read the reasoning behind these questions. Anybody doesn't have, raise your hand. We have enough for everybody. You need your own. Anybody doesn't have? Okay. If you don't have a pen, just do it, you know, mentally. Are you ready? You need some more time? Okay. There's space over here. By Prabhupada, there's a lot of space. You can come over by Prabhupada. You need more time? Okay. Well, there's... You can give one to your wife, if you got two. Okay, so count up how many yeses you got on that. How many got from 15 to 20? Yeses? Oh, very good. We'll send you to Vrindavan tomorrow. We'll take you with us. How many got from 9 to 14 yeses, and 1 to 8. Okay? So we need to do some work in our... So we're going to work right now. We're going to chant to Tulsi Devi and pray to Tulsi while we're chanting. Well, just pray, chant Hare Krishna, but our mood is to enter Vrindavan Dham. So we'll chant a little japa to Tulsi Devi, and then afterwards I'll go over these questions and discuss some of them. So you can chant too, while meditating on the Tulsi plant. Hare Krishna, it's nice if you can spend some time chanting to Tulsi Devi. If it's nice if you can plant one in your house, if you don't live here, and otherwise try to spend some time with Tulsi. And you will find your desires very quickly fulfilled, your spiritual desires. And your material desires, I don't know, but your spiritual desires, they will be fulfilled. So I'd just like to read something that I got from the Govardhan retreat in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. In Vrindavan, the current of bhakti flows, carried by the dust of Vrindavan. Every particle of dust carries Radha and Krishna's footprints. Did you know that? Every little piece of dust in Vrindavan carries Radha and Krishna's footprints that make a fool immersed in Krishna prema. That is, if you roll in the dust, then you can get Krishna prema. Our only chance is when the Dham runs after us and spreads over us. By living in Vrindavan and chanting Krishna's glories, you're free of anxiety. Never leave Vrindavan, even if the sun burns, the monkeys bite, people shout over the loudspeakers throughout the night. Even worms and insects who enter Vrindavan transform into Sat-Chit Ananda. Yes, so the monkeys, well, I'll talk about them later. But there are things that you need to know if you ever go to Vrindavan about the monkeys, how to behave with the monkeys, and how you can actually influence them in some way to let go of your prasad or to let go of you when they attack. So now before that, I would like to discuss a few of these questions in this residential permit application. Number one, are you firmly convinced it is by the mercy of Sri Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada that you will attain the shelter of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan? Sometimes, especially if you go to Vrindavan, there are some groups who tell you that, you know, no, your guru cannot help you, only I can help you to go back to Godhead. They may tell you that. They say, you're not the proper parampara, our parampara is the real one. So you may come up with that if you go to Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya, or Krishnadas Kavya, says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that a person who cannot keep his faith in the words of a spiritual master but acts independently never receives the authority to chant the holy name of the Lord. So then number two, are you confident you have received the mercy of Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai? Well, you're very fortunate because you're here with Gaura-Nitai in this temple. It is said, Narottam Das Thakur says, Hano Nitai Binai Bhai Radha Krishna Aite Nai. If one does not have the shelter of Nitai, he cannot get the lotus seat of Radha and Krishna. So you have to first worship Gaura-Nitai to enter Vrindavan. And then you can enter in the proper way, in a mood of humility. Number three, do you consider yourself reasonably well conversant with the writings of the Goswamis, like Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction? So again, Srila Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually going to Vrindavan involves taking shelter of the six Goswamis by reading Bhakti Samta Sindhu and other books they have given. In this way, one can understand the transcendental loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So the six Goswamis, they are helping us to also enter Vrindavan. So it's very important to read their books, especially Nectar of Devotion, which talks about bhakti and how to attain bhakti. Now, number four. Now, this is one for today especially. Are you honestly able to accept the ugliness and dirtiness of today's Vrindavan as Yoga Maya's covering and not be influenced in your vision by it? So when the devotees first went to Vrindavan, actually now it's worse. At that time there was only some stool, but now it's even everything is, the roads are dug up and there's dust everywhere and there's the sewage is everywhere. It used to be confined to the gutters before, and now it's just all over because they're digging up the streets, so you may even have to walk in it if you're walking in the street. So are you able to accept this is Yoga Maya's covering, and that this is not really Vrindavan, and don't be influenced by it, don't judge? So Prabhupada, he was asked by one devotee when they first went to Vrindavan, Prabhupada, how can we understand Vrindavan is Krishna's abode? There seems to be so much contamination in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, this is because your senses are impure. But when your eyes are smeared with the salve of love, then you can see Vrindavan. Don't judge Vrindavan by external manifestation. So what you see when you go there is not really Vrindavan. It's a covering of Yoga Maya. For those who are impersonalists, materialists, so they won't stay there. They won't go there. They won't stay there. It's protection. Number six, are you enthusiastic to bathe in Jamuna when you visit Vrindavan? This is also difficult nowadays because There's hardly any Jamuna left. It's a very, very shallow river, and there's a lot of sewage coming in. But actually, I was reading Hayagriva, and even in those days, it wasn't so bad. But he was watching how people bathe in the Jamuna. He said there's three categories of people that bathe in Jamuna. There's one category that goes in and drinks the water and feels like it's the pure, you know, from the Himalayas coming down Jamuna, and they have a nice bath and stay in for a long time. That's one category. And then there's the second category who goes in, covers their eyes, their nose, their ears, goes down three times and runs out. And then there's a third category that... And those, the second category, they look for a particularly clean place, and they make sure they got a good place to swim. First category, they don't discriminate. They just go and have a good time. The second category, they discriminate, but they do go in, and I don't know how they do it. Like, you know, everything's covered, so nothing goes in. There's a way that they have a bath. I've seen it too. Cover your eyes, cover your nose, cover your ears, and no water goes in. And then there's the third category who just looks, takes a few drops and puts it on their head. And so that was Hayagriva. He said, that's me. You know, I just have a few drops and put it on my head, and that's my bath in Jamuna. And so, but actually, if you actually go in and bathe nicely, you will feel clean inside and out. And you will feel Krishna Prema. But so Prabhupada says, there are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in Jamuna, and that cleans all contamination of the material world. So number 9, do you have any attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna? So, because if you don't, you're going to be forced. When you go to Vrindavan, there's loudspeakers everywhere, and you'll be hearing it 24 hours a day. So if you don't have an attraction, you may not be able to stay in Vrindavan, because everybody's chanting Hare Krishna, one way or the other. Rikshawalas are chanting Hare Krishna. Everybody's Radhe Radhe, instead of a horn or a bell, they go Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, and then everybody's supposed to get out of the way. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, according to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. So now we'll skip to number 11. Are you strict in the habit of honoring only Krishna Prasad? So this is important because you are what you eat, and if you eat food cooked by non-devotees, you may get that contamination of their consciousness. So number 12, are you apprehensive, that means worried, about the mosquitoes, monkeys, or beggars in Vrindavan, or concerned about disease here? So that might be a hard one. There may be other things on the list you can put on the list besides, like dacoits or whatever. Mosquitoes, monkeys, beggars, or disease. So I'll tell you what to do with monkeys. As Prabhupada also said, that you should not be friends, you should not be enemies with the monkeys. If you're too friendly, then they'll take advantage. If you feed them, if you don't feed them, then they'll destroy everything, you know, that's in your garden. And so if you make friends with them, then one day you're not their friend, you don't feed them, then that's it, they're your enemy. And if you fight with them, like one of our devotees, he was shooting a water gun at them whenever they would come with a water gun, and you know, what do you call that, squirt gun, big one, though, you know, that the kids have. And after one day, a whole gang of them just attacked him when he didn't have his gun, and that was it. It's history. So what you do, and sometimes they may attack, you should never have plastic bags, even if it's not prasadam, it can be anything. They will just take your plastic bag away from you, so you cannot be attached. And glasses they like very much, because they can trade them for bananas. And now they have upgraded to cell phones, so if you have a cell phone, the monkey will take it, because they think it's really cool having a cell phone. Last time I went to Lloyd Bazaar, there were two crowds of people. The first crowd, there was a guy with a motorcycle, and the monkey had taken his glasses. And the second crowd, the monkey had the cell phone up in Lloyd Bazaar. So you have to watch out. They have upgraded. So one time I was attacked. One time. And I got out of it. I had this Mahaprasad, and I was in front of my house, and monkeys live in front of my house. So I was trying to go home, and there was a path. So I had a bag of maha. I forgot, you know, to put it in my bag. If you have like a shoulder bag, you're pretty safe, but if they see a plastic bag, then you're finished. So I saw three monkeys, and they seemed okay. You know, you kind of have to figure out. I was figuring them out. You know, are they going to attack me or no? So one went past me. I said, okay, he's just all right. But then as soon as he went past, he jumped on my back. And there were two in front of me, and they were going like this. So then the process is you're supposed to drop the prasad, scream, and run. But I didn't want to give it to them because it was for Nepal. It was really expensive Mahaprasad, and I didn't want to give it to the monkeys. So I just screamed, Krishna, Krishna. And the guy jumped off my back, and the other one started backing off. So if you chant the holy name with quality, the monkeys will respond also. They also respond to Radhe. So if you chant Radhe or if you chant Krishna, but it has to be it's for your life, you know. Otherwise, they won't pay it. They won't believe you, you know. They won't believe you. But if you really chant with your whole heart and soul, and you know, like really scream, then they will let you go. But chanting is the key. If you're afraid, they'll know. If you're afraid of them, you can't show any fear. At one time, I was up on my roof, and the monkeys have a habit of turning on the water because they like to drink water. They know how to turn it on, but they never turn it off. So your whole tank can finish if you don't turn off the water. So one time, I was going up on the roof, and there it was full of monkeys, and so I just kind of chased them off. But then I went to turn the water off, and I had to turn my back to the roof, and then as soon as then I realized they all came back and they were going to attack me. I had a stick though. And so, you know, just like, I just whirled around with my stick and I just shouted at them. You have, you know, like martial arts or something. You have to. So it got them, you know. You just really have to get them. Like they get you unaware, you know. They climb up behind very quietly and take your glasses off before you. It feels like a human hand, you know. So you also have to get them unaware like that too. So that's the thing with monkeys in Vrindavan. Mosquitoes, you use a mosquito net. Beggars, oh, that's a problem too. Anyway, number 13, are you trying to become free from the tendency to envy, fault find, and criticize? So Prabhupada Saraswati says, may I never associate with fallen, sinful people who criticize the residents of Vrindavan, who do not glorify Vrindavan, who compare Vrindavan with any other holy place, cannot accept Vrindavan as eternal, full of bliss, spiritual, and wonderful. Then number 14, is it in your nature to greet other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality? And that's Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto. One who can, the Lord is satisfied with his devotee when he greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. So the number, we'll go to 18. Do you have a firm, heartfelt desire to assist in some way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's all-merciful Sankirtan mission? So this is very important. If you serve, if you do service for Lord Chaitanya, for Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, then we can go in the back door. Prabhupada has the key for the back door. And it's very difficult to go in the front door, but we can go in the back door by his mercy. Number 20, are you confident you will be content to live in Vrindavan? So, yes, that has to be there, that you really have to desire to want to go back to Godhead and to live there. And that's important. Okay, and now I'd like to read a little bit about rules for living in Vrindavan. Now this I also got from when Govardhan retreat. There's 5 rules for living in Vrindavan. Number 1, surrender your life. You have to surrender if you're in Vrindavan. You cannot enjoy. There's only one enjoyer, and that's Krishna in Vrindavan. And if you don't accept that, then you will just be forced to suffer. Number 2, tolerate. So how can you tolerate? Where's the power to tolerate? From bhajan, from chanting Hare Krishna. If you're strong in your bhajan, then you can tolerate. Number three is Vaishnava Seva. If you cannot give up your illusory dreams, think of Vrindavan and serve the devotees with cloth and food. So surrender your life, tolerate Vaishnava Seva and Dham Seva. And number four, you have to see the good. Because there's two visions of the holy Dham. You can see sewage or you can see roses. So be dumb and deaf to the so-called faults, accept the crazy, or else become a fault finder and displease Krishna. Number five is Yukta Vairagya. You have to eat enough, you have to sleep enough. So when you go on parikrama and hear the topics of Krishna, you won't fall asleep. And also you must be always searching for Krishna in Vrindavan. The Goswami's mood was to search for Krishna. Where are you, Krishna? Become detectives to search him out. As Srila Prabhupada did one lonely night, sweeping in front of Sri Rupa Goswami's samadhi, crying out for Rupa and Sanatana. Continue your search for Krishna, no matter what, and keep his impression in your heart, and soon you will find him. So, five rules, that is surrender, tolerate, Vaishnava Seva, see the good, and Yukta Vairagya. So now I would like you to meet some residents of Vrindavan, and they will give you a message just for you. So we have two bags here. Each devotee, you don't give them, let them choose one from the bag, and there will be a message for you. And there's enough for everyone, so if there's not enough on this side, we can get some from the men's side. Just let them choose. Yeah, choose. So this will be everyone will get a message today to take home from a resident of Vrindavan. There's enough. There should be enough for everybody. Okay, if you have extra, then give it to the women, I think, because there seems to be more of them. I don't know her name. Yeah, there should be enough to go around. So how many of you got Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj? One, two. Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. Okay, so the message is chant Hare Krishna from him. Because I also met him. He was a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, a very wonderful godbrother. And all he did day and night was chant Hare Krishna. And if you ask him a question on philosophy, he would just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. That was his answer. Every time. Always the same answer, no matter what you asked him. That was his answer. And in a small songbook, he made his last entry before leaving this world. Chanting the holy name of Krishna is the true nectar. The holy name is like honey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can come and take one. Okay. Now, when he was a brahmachari, the other brahmachari, just take one. Yeah. Okay. The other brahmachari used to complain about him that all he does is chant Hare Krishna. And Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, his chanting is fine and you should encourage him. And put an ad in the newspaper that inviting all sincere men who are willing to chant Krishna's name all day and night can join the Gaudiya Math. So a few men came, chanted, and left. But Krishnadas Babaji remained steady in his chanting. He never stopped chanting. And he was very wonderful. And Shivakshisiddhanta ordered his people to give all facility to this wonderful person. Lokanath Goswami, who got Lokanath Goswami? Nobody. Oh, yes, okay. Two. All right. So the message for you is deity worship. He had a beautiful deity of Radha Vinod, which he used to carry around, a self-manifested deity. And also he was very attached to Vrindavan Dham and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, anyone who reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he is my friend. So that was Lokanath Goswami. Okay? Who got Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, author of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Well, we got a lot of those. Five. One, two, three, four, five. So you need to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the message for you. But there is other message, and that is how humble he was. Humility, to practice humility. He was very, very humble, although he was a great scholar. And at the end, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, I am deaf, dumb, wholly illiterate, worldly-minded, lower than a worm in stool. So he was a living example of humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. So humility is the message from him, and also that you should read Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will help you. Narhari Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, you got... Okay, these two. Narhari Chakravarti Thakur. So he was a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Narhari Chakravarti Thakur's father was a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was a disciple of Nishinga Chakravarti in the line of Srinivasacharya. Now, he was a very qualified person. He knew dancing, singing, playing musical instruments. But he said, I'm unfit for serving the Lord. Not only was he dancing, singing, and playing musical instruments, he was a wonderful cook. They called him Rasuya Pujari for Govindaji. So cooking, dancing, singing, and playing musical instruments. And also he was very humble. He had humility. And he would say, they would plead him. The pujaris said, don't do such lowly service. But he would say, no, I'm most fallen. I have no right. It's really merciful of you to let me render whatever service I can do. So he was cooking right into his 70s, when he was 70 years old. Wonderful devotee. Haridas Pandit and Lord Chaitanya, okay? Wow. So you have two here. Haridas Pandit was also wonderful. He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. So he was into Vaishnava Seva. And you also got Lord Chaitanya and his immediate followers. So you have a lot of messages here, those who got this one. The six Goswamis, how they were always chanting and renounced. So you can... Also, he was gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in his words, and sober in his endeavors. He was respectful to everyone, worked for the benefit of all. Diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. So I think that will be helpful for you in your services. Yes, I think so for you too. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami. Oh. Again, Srimad Bhagavatam. He was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rupa and Sanatana, and he would be overwhelmed in ecstatic love for Krishna. He would neither hear nor speak about anything of the material world. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. And he would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. He knew only everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. So that's a lot to do there for those who have Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Bhugarbha Goswami also. He was wandering around Vrindavan. So that might be hard over here. And he would perform his bhajan underground in a cave. That's why he was called Bhu. Bhu means earth and Garbha in the cave. So he was chanting down in a cave. So that you don't need to do. But the first one, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Subhuti Roy. Who has Subhuti Roy? Oh, over here. Well, you have to go to Vrindavan. But also there's other things. If you can't go to Vrindavan, you need to chant Hare Krishna, because he was the one who was converted to a Muslim, and he didn't know what to do, and the people were telling him, well, you have to drink hot ghee and kill yourself, or hot melted iron. But then he went to Vrindavan and he saw Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, you just chant Hare Krishna and all your reactions will go away. So the message is to chant Hare Krishna, and also Vaishnava Seva. He would collect dry wood in the forest, take it to the Mathura, and for each load he would receive 5 or 6 paisa, which is practically nothing nowadays. He would keep 1 paisa he would live on, and the rest he would serve the Bengali Vaishnavas, giving them cooked rice and oil massages. They need mustard oil in the winter especially. Every Bengali needs mustard oil massage. And also rice. Without rice, 3 times a day, cannot survive. If you live in Bengal, then you know that they'll have, sabji means this much sabji and this much rice. Sabji is just like a achar or something to go with the rice. So this is, you can also get one too.
Thanks.
Where's the bag? Here. You can have one. The message from Vrindavan. Just take one. Yeah, okay. Which one did you get?
Qualities of Haridas Pandit.
Haridas Pandit, okay. So we read about his qualities already. So you can study that. That's your message of the day. Some instructions are there about qualities. Oh, did you get Haridas Pandit? Oh, isn't that interesting? You and Shamarani and Adikeshava got Haridas. And the new one.
It's the management message.
Yeah. Very interesting.
That's like my question the other day, right?
Yeah.
My answer on the card.
Yeah. I think it's... And also, what is your name, Kupu? Jai Sachinandan. He also got it too. Yeah. Maybe he'll be the next management, I don't know.
Anything's possible, yeah.
Or the current one. Yes. Okay, so we're talking about Subhuti Roy. So these are messages, personal messages from the residents of Vrindavan today. Krishnadas Kaviraj reveals the mercy and potency of Nityananda. Who got that? Krishnadas Kaviraj reveals Nityananda. You got that. Okay, yes. So, Nityananda. So you have Nityananda. This is wonderful. So Nityananda is giving Madan Mohan, giving Radha Govinda, is giving so many things. And then how to live in Braj, absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. Okay? So that's a very simple message for you. Serve Nitai. Shri Jagannath Das Babaji. Who got Jagannath Das Babaji? Okay, again, this is humility and also worship of Gaur Nitai. One time, Jagannath Das Babaji begged a japati from a street sweeper, a bangi. Now, this is very bad. You're not supposed to eat anything from a bangi. That's the most low-class person in Vrindavan who cleans the sewage and everything. So, hearing about this, all the leading men of Vrindavan said to Jagannath Das Babaji, Baba, you are the crest jewel of Braj. It pains us to hear anyone criticizing you. But now everyone is talking against you. They're saying Baba's gone mad. If he defies the age-old tradition, what will happen to society? So Babaji Maharaj said, you are all learned people. Don't you know the importance of the dust of Vrindavan? It is so surcharged with Krishna Prema. Even Lord Brahma desires to become a particle of Brajaraj. So isn't a Vrindavan sweeper who's constantly serving the dust, breathing it, rolling in it, and bathing in it more pure than anyone else? And silence filled the air. They all accepted that, yes, you are right. You are right. So he had 3 instructions. Number 1, so this is for those who have Jagannath Das Babaji. To realize the supreme goal of life, you must repeat Hari Nam regularly and steadfastly. Steadiness is so important, it must be maintained, even at the cost of one's life. That's number 1. Number 2, never forget Gaura, who is more merciful and benevolent than Krishna. Krishna is like a just ruler who takes into account your offenses in his administration of justice. Gaura does not take your offenses into account. Whereas Krishna is more interested in justice, Gaura is more interested in mercy. So, the number three again, he's emphasizing that you should chant Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Jai Sachinandana, Lord Chaitanya, Pajtapa Mahamantra. Worship Lord Chaitanya. This is Jagannath Das Babaji. Now, I think there's one more left.
Prabhupada.
Oh. Three here got Srila Prabhupada. Okay. So this one, actually, I think I read this already, how he was sweeping the ground at the Radha Damodar temple. So you need to pray for mercy from Prabhupada. And really follow Prabhupada. Really follow him very strongly. Don't deviate. So these are the instructions that you have today. Personal instructions from the residents of Vrindavan. So for our last exercise, we're again going to associate with residents of Vrindavan. And this time we're going to combine japa again with our meditation on different devotees. So here we have these things. You're going to have to share with two people, I think. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. And there's about how many? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 20. Yeah, half and half. 2, 4, 6. So each of you, there are 16 cards in here. Each of you will get 8 cards. So you share, you get a partner and you share half and half with the person. You can keep these cards. And we're going to meditate on residents of Vrindavan while we chant japa. These residents of Vrindavan will help you to enter Vrindavan Dhamma. So there are 16 cards and on the back there's a prayer. Everybody has a partner. I think Jai Radhika needs to share. You need to share with her. Yeah? Yes? Okay, raise your hand if you don't have a partner. Okay, there you go. These, you two. Yeah. You two. Oh, it worked out. There's 28 and there's 14 of these. It's worked out perfectly.
The 6 cards each?
8. There's 16 cards. So 8 cards for each person. Okay, so I'll just read a few of them. First we have Srila Prabhupada, and there's a prayer on the back. Namaste, namaste, kripa purna rishti. Namaste, namaste, mahananda tatri. Namama, namama, punaraksha raksha. Vasira prabha pahimam daksha daksha. O beloved Srila Prabhupada, I repeatedly offer my obeisances unto you, whose glances are full of mercy, and who bestow a transcendental bliss. O renowned Master, please kindly protect me and continue to shower your mercy upon me again and again. So then the next one is Nitai, the second card. When will the moon called Nityanandaram bestow his mercy upon me, and all my material desires become small and insignificant? Oh, when will my mind be purified of all material anxieties and desires so that I will actually be able to see Vrindavan Dham? So then, next is Lord Chaitanya. I won't read all of these, but Lord Chaitanya. Then the 6 Goswamis. Because some of these you may not know who they are, so I'm explaining. These are the 6 Goswamis. I offer obeisances to them, by offering obeisances, all obstacles to devotion are destroyed and all spiritual desires are fulfilled. Then the next one is a very interesting looking deity. Does anybody know who this is? Gopeshwara. Lord Shiva. Yeah, Gopeshwara, just as a gopi. And he's in Vrindavan and he's protecting the rasa dance. Gatekeeper. This one is Jamuna Devi. I'll read that. Springing a single drop of her water upon oneself frees one from reaction to even the most heinous crime. She increases the flow of spontaneous love for Nandanandana within one's heart and benedicts anyone who simply desires to reside on her banks. May that Jamuna Devi, daughter of Surya Dev, always purify me. Then we have the Jamuna River here. And then we have Vrinda Devi. This is Vrinda Devi, deity. Like that. She has a parrot. She should have a parrot. No, she doesn't. She has a lotus. This is Vrinda Devi. Vrinda Devi. Giri Govardhan is here. And then we have Radhakun. And Lalita. Lalita from Vrindavan. Yeah. And then we have Radharani's lotus feet. O Queen, please rescue this unfortunate person drowning in an ocean of pain. Please place him on the strong boat of your mercy and carry him to the wonderful shelter of your divine lotus feet. Then we have lotus feet of Govindaji in Jaipur. And yeah, Jaipur Govindaji, the original Govinda. Yeah. We have Radhasham in Vrindavan. And then we have Radhi and Sham. So you can choose one or two of these cards to chant to. Right now we'll chant to these residents of Vrindavan, begging for mercy so we can enter Vrindavan Dham. You can just choose one or two to look at and then chant.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop now. Does anybody have any questions or comments about... Yes.
And we say, mantra kalpa, rubhya cha.
Yes.
We say all the desires, Vaishnavas will fulfill all the desires. What about people's material desires?
Okay, so the question is, when we offer obeisances, mantra kalpa, rubhya cha, kripa sindo vyeva cha, we're saying... Is this referring to material desires as well? Do you have experience of that?
Every time I say it, I kind of feel like I don't want to please, you know, I'm not able to please people materially. Maybe I can guide them on the spiritual path somehow or other.
Uh-huh.
So why do we say like this of a Vaishnava?
The desire tree. Yes. Because the spiritual desires are desires of the soul, and that's the real permanent help that you can give. I mean, you can, if you fulfill their material desires, also that's helpful if it's, you know, in the category of Vaishnava Seva and giving prasadam, prasad distribution. Of course, that's not material also. It's not material. But sometimes devotees have material needs as well. So if it's in relationship to devotees, then that's okay. If you're fulfilling, it's not that they have material desires, but they have material needs to do their service. But material desires, actually in India they expect the guru to fulfill your material desires, and that's why they choose a guru. They choose one who will cure your disease, get some special dusting, and give you gold or cure your disease. So that's how they choose. They say, well, he must fulfill my material desires. But our path is different. It's a Nivritti mark. So we are following the path of renunciation. So Srila Prabhupada, one time he was sitting in the train going in India in first class compartment, and some respectable Indian people came to him and they said, Maharaj, Guruji, please give us your blessings. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you want my blessings? I said, then he pointed to Tumal Krishna Maharaj. He said, here's my blessing. You become like him. And they said, oh, it's okay, Guruji. Next time, we have something, well, we have to go now. So that was it's very funny that way in India. That really they expect a guru. Guru means you'll definitely get your disease cured, or you'll pass your exam, or they go to guru and astrologer for these things. So, but we don't do that. Of course they do. I think a lot of gurus get all the material problems of their disciples on their heads and these days and expect their material desires to be fulfilled. But actually it's not, Prabhupada said that's not why you go to a guru. You go to the guru so that you can become free from material desires. Yes. So exactly, I don't know how you're in the position of fulfilling desires. Is that what you're saying?
Prayer says vancha kalpa taru, they are like
desire trees.
So desire trees fulfills all the desires of everyone.
Yeah, so well the Vedas are desire trees. So the Vedas, they do fulfill all material desires. But as we discussed the other day, there is one transcendental fruit, and that is Bhagavatam. So we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not really studying the Vedas. And Krishna advised Arjuna that you go beyond the Vedas, you transcend them. So yes, if you want material desires, then you go to the Vedas. But the pure devotee, he will not fulfill your material desires. In fact, he will take them. He will help you engage your material things in service of Krishna. And in that way, Krishna says, if someone worships me for something material, he's worshiping me and he's praying for something material, then I'm not such a fool that I'm going to give him poison to drink. He says, instead, I'll give him the nectar of my lotus feet and he'll forget all of these desires. So that's what happens if you go to a Vaishnava. Then they won't help you fulfill. But Krishna, he may actually have to go to Gornitai. They are more merciful. And they may accept everything. Or they may take everything away. Who knows? Nityananda is very... You don't know what he'll do. Yes. But anyway, yeah.
I just had something I wanted to share.
Uh-huh.
One time I went to go down a retreat, and
yeah.
I've been sick, so I haven't been able to eat anything. And when I got there, the arrangements weren't how mm-hmm. I expected them to be. And
right.
The devotee who was in charge of it, she was kind of telling us where we were going, and I didn't like that. And
yeah, I know who that is.
And then, so when I saw Parijan Prabhu, I kind of said something, I can't even remember what I said, I probably just blocked it out, but I said something about how, oh, they should treat the devotees a little bit, something or other. And then he just said to me, that is not the mood of Vrindavan. He said, if you want to be anywhere else in the world, in Brisbane or somewhere else, you can say things like that, but in Vrindavan, we don't speak like that. And he's, and then, actually, I started crying. Because I felt really bad, but I was really sick as well, so, you know.
Yeah, when you're sick, you really can't tolerate.
Unfortunately. So then he said, no, I didn't mean to do that. He's made me cry. So then he said, wait 1 minute, and he went back to his room, and then he brought some figs, a sweet, and some nuts. They're Mahaprasha beauties. And he said, here's a fig. Don't care a fig what anybody else does. Just mind your own business. He said, here are some nuts. These are so you don't drive your husband nuts. And here's a sweet, because above all else, it will be sweet. Talking about the retreat.
That's wonderful.
But he gave me this... you know, I can't follow it much, but he gave me this idea that actually to be in Vrindavan, you can't criticize. And then a friend and I were working on a project, and it was quite difficult, and I found myself criticizing the other devotees in the team, and then I told her, actually, this isn't the mood of Vrindavan. So then every time we'd meet, and we'd start going to that side, we'd go, Vrindavan mood. And it was actually really helpful to kind of mm-hmm. focus that, if I want to be in Vrindavan, I have to give up this mentality.
Yeah, or else you will get smashed. Very soon, yes.
You were mentioning earlier, in the beginning, that Vrindavan is very dirty, and it keeps away from the personalists and insincere devotees.
Yeah.
So how about if there's more development in Vrindavan, like, for example, I heard that they're going to bring the Ganga up, they have a 4 million project.
Yeah, well, I mean, that project's been going on since 10 years, and it's worse than it's ever been before, and the money just goes in their pockets.
So I just have the question that...
The money doesn't go to the project. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, they're going to clean up the Jamuna, and they're going to make a bridge over it, and they're going to make a highway through Loy Bazaar, and... They're going to make another highway in the Purukkuma path, so we're going to have a 4-lane highway, and I don't know what's going to be left of Vrindavan.
So, can I just finish my question?
Sure.
Like, if they do increase the tourism, what is your opinion of it, and what would Srila Prabhupada think of development and increased tourism?
Yeah. Well, he wanted everyone to come to Vrindavan. He did want that. He did want them to come. And he also wanted not only tourism, he wanted education. He wanted them to come and be educated. He wanted it to be a center for education so that they would come and get knowledge and go. But at the same time, the way they're doing it is they are not preserving Vrindavan. They're going to cut all the trees down, you know. So it's because it's not in the hands of devotees, you know, the way that, the way it's being done. Therefore, a lot of the beauty of Vrindavan is going to be sacrificed in the name of development. So that's there, and it's predicted. It's going to be covered more and more. Vrindavan is being covered, so that is happening. We who live in Vrindavan are not happy about it, not very happy. And I don't know what will be the outcome, what will happen. It's good if people come, but what will they come to? I mean, they will see highways. If they want to see a highway, they can go to Delhi. If they want to see a bridge, you know. And what will be the difference? Of course, Vrindavan is there, but to external appearances, it won't seem like any different from Delhi. The temples are there, so they can go and see the temples. More intelligent would be to like make sure all the cars don't go in Vrindavan, and then just have like, you know, rickshaws or walking or something. That would be nice if they did that, and then it would be nice. It would be good. We could preserve something of the atmosphere. But it looks like what's happening at the present is that they're sacrificing the natural beauty and everything, and it's not any cleaner. In fact, it's worse. Hopefully it will improve, but then you really have to go internal to see Vrindavan. You really have to be very... The deities are there. You can go see the deities. That's about what will be left, is the deities. The deities are all very beautiful, so we can go and see the deities. And right now also it's becoming filled up with a lot of materialistic people also. All the new houses that are being built and everything. There's difficulties there. Any other question? Yes, Adikeshwa?
Sure.
Oh, yes?
If I may just share something.
Sure.
In regards to Prabhu's question about material desires.
Material desires.
One time, that was years back, I was given a small machine deity.
Right.
So I went to my Maharaj and I asked him, how should I worship the machine deity? So I thought he was going to give me some ideas about the procedure and everything. Mm-hmm. He actually directed me to two persons in the Bhagavatam, on Lord Mishnadev. Mm-hmm. And they all both had to do with destroying
material desires.
All possible material desires.
Yeah, I know one Grihastha couple who got Ugri Nishinga, and then very shortly after that they broke up. That was it. So if you're Grihastha, don't get Ugri Nishinga. Yes, you have a question? And then Dominic.
If the devotee has Vrindavan in his heart, the advanced devotee,
right.
Does it mean also that he sees Vrindavan even if he's outside the physical Vrindavan in India, anywhere in the world?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada, he had that vision, and he could, and wherever he went, he was bringing Vrindavan. He was Vrindavan's messenger, so he could see Vrindavan everywhere he went. There was one of my god sisters, Sladini. She was living in New Vrindavan, and she wrote to Prabhupada one time that, oh, everything is looking just like Goloka Vrindavan. The cows are surabis, and the trees are desire trees. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, yes, you are right. It is. Your vision changes as you do your service, and you see Vrindavan. You see Vrindavan everywhere. Vrindavan is also a mood of service. That Krishna is the only enjoyer. Even the house of the Pandavas was called a dham because everything there was for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever was in their house. So that's how you make Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said, one day I was doing my puja and Goloka manifested before my eyes. So yes, he sees everywhere Vrindavan. He sees Krishna, and where is Krishna? There's Vrindavan. And he sees everything's there. Krishna, Radha, devotees, Vrindavan. Dominic?
I would like to ask you about the beggars. How to protect
figures.
Some of them are really pushy and...
I know. That's my weak spot. I really have a hard time with beggars, too. What to do with the beggars? Yeah, it's good if you can... sometimes you can give them something, you know. Prashad is the best, though, if you can give them prashad. Then they know, okay, you're no good for money. But still, it's something. Prashad is something. It's nice. It's nice. And some of them are genuinely hungry. Most of them are better off than we are. I mean, a lot of them, they have bank accounts. But some of them are, you know, they come in from Rajasthan. And prashadam is the best. And Bombay and Delhi, yeah, when we go to Delhi, the temple van, there's a toll station. And last time I was going in the temple car, they give them maha sweets. And last time, instead of paying the toll, they give them maha sweets. So last time we had only 3 sweets, so they said, we are 10 men now, we need a whole box of sweets. And so they get used to it. And in Bombay, the beggars were trained up, you know, they go to the stoplights and beg. But when they would see devotees, Hare Krishna, prashadam, prashadam. You know. Yeah. And so it's...
Calcutta
too? And they know devotees are loaded with prashadam when they're going on their trips. Wow, in the airport, pretty good. And they've got them trained up. So prashadam is good. Prabhupada even gave them some money, you know, sometimes. But it's not all the time. It's not, you can give them clothes, you can give them prashadam, whatever, they'll be happy. Yes? Yes.
And whatever that's happened there now, development, destruction, so can you say that that's the special...
Yes, ultimately it's the desire of Krishna.
To bring many people to there, somehow they attract to temple, somehow get books.
It's good. It just makes it difficult to see, more difficult to see the real Vrindavan. That's all. At the sacrifice of the natural beauty of the Dham, it's so we feel very upset about that, you know, when they cut the trees down and, you know, very old trees and stuff like that. But of course, ultimately we know it's Radharani's desire that Vrindavan become covered now, and Mayapur is going to be open. Even Mayapur, they cut down all the, destroyed the park, I mean, that was to build the temple, but then the temple will come, so it seems like both are in the phase of destruction at the moment. Mayapur and Vrindavan. But now they're building construction, yes?
Could the devotees worldwide do a protest?
It has been happening, but the ones in Vrindavan who went on the protest, the foreign registration people came and took all their photos and gave them a lot of trouble, and they wanted to kick them out of Vrindavan because they say it's not your country, so you can't do this. You're not Indian, so how can you protest? But it's going to happen. One of the Goswamis of Radharaman Temple, he made a court case, and they stopped some of the bridge making temporarily. But then now they're starting it again. But anyway, do what you can do. Yeah, there is. It's on the internet actually. There is some protest. It's going on. But how successful it is, I have my doubts. Because, I mean, we like to think Vrindavan belongs to the world, but Indian government feels it belongs to UP, and they want to make it the center of UP, or the state of Uttar Pradesh. It'll be the main tourist attraction. In one way, it's good. Vrindavan will be famous. People will come. But it's up to us to give them education and knowledge and all that. Then it's worth it. They come and get some knowledge, some devotion. Any other questions? Yes?
You were talking about River Yamuna.
River Yamuna.
Which is more pure.
which Yamuna or
Ganga.
Well, according to Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam, when Ganga becomes 100 times more powerful, it becomes Yamuna. That's what he says in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamuna is 100 times more powerful because Krishna went there. But then, of course, now Lord Chaitanya came in Ganga. So it may also have upgraded because, yes.
Small comment regarding this. If you bathe in Ganga, it takes away all your sinful reactions. If you bathe in Yamuna, it takes away all your sinful reactions and all your pious reactions. So you
And actually, but in Mayapur, the thing about Mayapur is Yamuna flows because Yamuna joins Ganga at Prayag, Allahabad. So in Mayapur, one side is Yamuna and one side is Ganga. They don't mix. So in Mayapur, you can have both. You can go to the Yamuna side, and if you feel like giving up everything and getting Krishna Prema, and if you can go on the Ganga side, if you're not so adventurous. But yeah, we do that. We swim sometimes. We go across on the Yamuna side. On the temple, Mayapur temple side is Ganga. And then Yamuna is on the other side. Saraswati is supposed to be there also. But she's hidden now. She's in a subtle form, perhaps. But we don't see... Yes?
How long should it go to Vrindavan?
First time?
Second.
Well, the first time, 3 days, Prabhupada recommends. Because you may just get so sick and you'll think, I'll never come back again, you know. But then the second time is good to go in Kartik, and you can stay a month. It's for the month of Kartik. It's good. It's the best time to go. It's a little crowded, but it's still nice. Make your reservations 6 months ahead because the prices go up 3 times. Yes?
Mataji, Prabhupada mentioned that Vrindavan Dham and Mayapur Dham is no different, but how come the mood is so intense?
How come?
Vrindavan.
Yes. Well, how come the mood is so intense in Vrindavan if it's not different? Because everything in Vrindavan, it's in a very small area. And also offenses are counted there much more in Vrindavan. As we read, the Krishna is interested in justice. So if you commit an offense in Vrindavan, then you will get a quick reaction. And now in Mayapur, it's a mercy is flowing all the time. And it's open, it's not developed, it's undeveloped, and so there's a lot more space, and so it can blossom. Whereas Vrindavan, everything's in a very small area, and so it's very intense that way. Intense, so spiritually, because offenses are counted. And in Mayapur, I mean, you should avoid offenses, but Gaur Nitai are more merciful. You still will get the reaction, but it'll be in a different way. Any other questions? Yes?
I met somebody once in the airport in America, and he was a Vrindavasi.
Brijavasi. That's strange. Usually they won't leave Vrindavan.
Yeah. What happens with him? He's born in Vrindavan, but he's committing all kinds of sinful reactions the rest of his life outside. If he dies outside Vrindavan, yeah, what will happen? Is he still liberated?
No. No. Even in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, if you commit offenses, your next life, you'll be born as a hog, dog, or monkey in Vrindavan. And then in that birth, you will go back to Godhead. Because what happens, you commit offense, and then you get punished, because being an animal in Vrindavan is really... really, a lot of suffering. Monkeys suffer so much in Vrindavan. They have all these horrible diseases. And the dogs, the street dogs, are suffering. And the hogs are enjoying, but then sometimes they get shipped off to the slaughterhouse in Delhi. Or they all get killed by the bungies. The bungies eat the hogs. So it's a life of suffering. But in that life, as an animal, you don't commit any offenses, but you're living in Vrindavan without offense. So that's counted. If you live in Vrindavan without offense, you go back to Godhead. So all the animals are going back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. They are all fallen devotees who committed offenses in their last life. and they'll go back to Godhead. So that Vrijbhasi, who left Vrindavan, is doing all nonsense, and he could become an animal in a foreign country. And maybe he could become an animal in the house of a devotee, like maybe some of the animals, if you have animals, this cat over here that you have. Prabhupada said, these animals who belong to devotees, they're fallen devotees who belong to temples or devotees. They're all fallen devotees too. So he may become one of those animals in a devotee's house or in a ISKCON temple somewhere in Vrindavan and have one more birth and go back. Because after all, he's born there. So that's to his credit, but it's not enough. Just like if you're born a Brahmin, then that doesn't mean you're a Brahmin. If he's born a Vrijbhasi, doesn't mean he's a Vrijbhasi. There's more to it. So, yeah.
But there's that verse that Sachinanda Maharaj quoted a couple of years ago when he did Javya at Govardhan.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which scripture he quoted, but it says that if you're born in Vrindavan, if you die in Vrindavan, or you take initiation in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan, yeah. And you go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Prabhupada did say there is a clause there. Yeah, a hidden clause that you have to, if you commit offenses, then you'll go back, but it'll take a few more births. You will go back. He'll go back. He's born and he's Vrijbhasi. I know some devotees. I know one devotee who did a regression past life. She was a Vrijbhasi, committed an offense. I think she was always criticizing the devotees. This life she took birth as a daughter of a butcher in the West, living in a ghetto her whole life, in her childhood, having to fight for her life, actually. But now she's living in Vrindavan again, and, you know, much the wiser, became a devotee, and living in Vrindavan. So it can happen. Yeah.
So what would you recommend?
Don't do offenses in Vrindavan.
If somebody has committed offenses in Vrindavan, in order not to become a hog dog, what would you recommend?
Well, you have to be serious in your chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna is the only way in this age of Kali to become free from offenses. Avoid the 10 offenses, chant attentively, and serve the devotees. And serve the Dham also. You can serve the Dham. If you have committed an offense in the Dham, you can plant trees, you can clean up. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of clean up to do in Vrindavan. They take devotees out to Nandagram Varshana to clean Govardhan. Yeah, cleaning up the Dham. Actually, when we were in Vrindavan in 1972, then Achyutananda Swami, he was always making jokes with Prabhupada. And so he made one joke. Prabhupada was telling how if you make an offense, in Vrindavan, next life you'll be hog, dog, monkey. And so Achyutananda was saying, yeah, this life they're making it dirty. Next life they'll come back as hogs and clean it up. Because the hogs eat all the stool. Anyway, that was just one thing he said. And he was always making jokes. He was very witty. Yeah. But yeah, you can always do Dham Seva. But the main thing is, serve the things that we said, serve the devotees, do Dham Seva. The five most potent forms. But mainly chant Hare Krishna. And that will purify you of everything. And serve the Vrijbhasi, serve the devotees in Vrindavan. The animals, whatever. And serve your guru in this life. And serve Prabhupada. He won't see. Actually, okay, better you do something in Mayapur too, because then they won't see the offense. Mayapur. Gonitai. You're so lucky. You have Goni ties, so they don't see any offenses. They just take the good. Any other questions, comments? I think it's almost last one, because it's almost 9:30.
I think one devotee is a Western devotee, maybe you may know him. So in Vrindavan, so he baking bread at home, and every day morning going to Vrindavan park, so distributing kids in Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I saw him 2-3 times like that, early in the morning, but he's a Western person, mm-hmm. maybe age 50, 65.
Well, that sounds like somebody. There's another person who sprays everybody with Jamuna water. Everybody goes. I don't know if that's the same one. Sounds like. Does he wear a short, like?
Yeah, it's a tall guy.
Yeah. And short, like yeah. white, short yeah, white. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I know him. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all for coming. Hare Krishna.